preacher down here tonight. There have been a few other preachers who enjoy walking around. I enjoy standing static. I don't have a good enough memory to remember what I prepared, so I used my notes, but I thought I would stand as one of the congregation here at Hutt City Baptist. If you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to Acts chapter 4. Grateful to Eddie for reading from Matthew 23. If you want a view from Jesus of what he thinks of church leaders, you can read the rest of Matthew 23 for your homework. Can I just say a very happy Father's Day to everyone? Happy Father's Day, particularly to the fathers. But I just want to acknowledge that for some, Father's Day is a really difficult day. I don't know what your experience of a dad is like, was like, or maybe you never had a dad that you knew of. There's a verse in the Bible, I think it's in the Psalms, where God is described as a father to the fatherless. I had a dad who used to travel very regularly, and that verse regularly spoke to me as the one that we can trust in. So if you're here today, and today is a hard day for you, remember the father to the fatherless. There's barely a few weeks go by where I don't hear of some church leader somewhere behaving in a way that really is inconsistent and unbecoming of someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. I suspect the same is true for you. Without too much thought, and I did this experiment, I can easily count more than 10 Christian leaders who I know of who have behaved inappropriately in recent years, and it's come to light, and they have had to step down from church leadership. It's not something, as someone who has been in church leadership, that I'm proud of, but to use a common Kiwi phrase, the reality is, it's true. I don't know how much you talk about your faith as a Christian with other people. As Kiwis, we tend to be quite private. There are certain things that are very public, whether you were supporting the North or the South last night, and there are things that are very private. And whether we like it or not, a lot of people want us to keep our faith private. They don't want us to talk about it. But if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, it is a must, it is a non-negotiable. You need to speak of Jesus. Because it is the most selfish act if we as Christians keep faith, our faith in the Lord Jesus, to ourselves. Be like someone who had discovered the cure or the vaccine for COVID-19, finding it and then not sharing it. It would be immoral not to do that. In the words of Peter and John in Acts 4:20, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And as Christians, we are called to both live for Jesus and speak for Jesus. And the two need to tie together, obviously. But we can't do one or the other. It must be both. But if you're like me, I can guarantee it won't be long in sharing your faith with other people before all sorts of obstacles are presented. It's a great question to ask of someone, and maybe you're not a Christian here today. What keeps you from Jesus? What is it that is stopping you becoming a Christian? And you'll find if you ask that of people, and obviously you might need to be fairly bold, you might need a good friendship to ask that kind of question. What keeps you from Jesus? You will find that for some, there are very genuine issues. But this happened, that happened, I don't believe that. But for many, there are also very lame excuses. One of the most frequent reasons that is given is, what about all the hypocrisy within the church? Richard, just as we were sat there, asked me, what are you speaking on this morning, Ben? And I said, hypocrisy in the church, we could be here for a while. It's asked in all sorts of ways. And let me just be clear, I'm not speaking of this church, as far as I know, but those questions are asked of us, aren't they? What about the church leader who was embezzling the church? What about the pastor who was sleeping with their associate? What about the leader abusing their young people? And behind all those kinds of questions is the message that we're supposed to hear very loud and clear as Christians. The church is full of hypocrites. You can't be trusted. I don't want a bar of it. And I suspect most, if not all of us, have heard that kind of thing. Let me be upfront. They are totally fair questions. Sadly, they are genuine obstacles for many. And let me be totally clear on it. There is no excuse. Sin is serious. We must not condone this kind of behavior. We must not cover up the many wrongdoings that there are committed in the name of the church or by those who belong to the church. Sin is serious, and public sin is rightly scandalous. But what do you say? What do you say when someone asks you that and challenges that? How do you answer that very real allegation? For me, the question is pertinent. Just this past month, I've heard news of an old friend of mine, former church leader, who has been jailed for multiple child sex offences. As I prepared for this, I read the Bible, I study books. I found in my office a book entitled Who You Are When No One's Looking. Many of you would know the name of the author. I don't really want to sensationalise or scandalise it. But written by a leading pastor who now has multiple allegations of inappropriate behaviour made against him. Who You Are When No One's Looking. And let's be clear, it's not just in the US or the UK or in Australia, it's here in New Zealand. Let me be more blunt, let's not kid ourselves, it's here in the Hutt Valley. You only need to read the Hutt News from time to time or the Don Post, and you'll see those stories. Just recently I was chatting with a friend about what I believe and how it affects my behaviour, and I think she sort of was asking a probing, really asking a question behind her questions. You're not one of them, are you, Ben? Well, the answer is, no, I'm not, but I'm not perfect either. So how do you respond to those obstacles to our faith? In the passage that Eddie read to us earlier, Jesus says that the Pharisees and the religious leaders do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. His warning to the crowds and the disciples is absolutely clear. Don't follow the religious leaders. And then in the rest of the chapter, we have one of them read to us, Jesus pronounces multiple woes on them. So how are we to respond? I think a great response to the challenge from non-Christians comes from Peter when he's standing before some of these very religious leaders, these hypocrites. He's being questioned, interrogated, challenged by them, in this case for healing a crippled beggar. And you can read it in the rest of Acts chapter 4. And Peter is speaking to Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John, Alexander, the high priest's family. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he says these words. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And I want to pick up on that last sentence. If you get nothing else from what I say today, may it be this. Take this home. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. If you want to look it up later. It's a simple message. It's one that we need to hear. We need to believe it. We need to speak it. And we need to share it. So what Peter is saying is really simple. First, there is one way. Listen to what he says. You can't get much clearer than those opening words. Salvation is found in no one else. Peter is saying what has now, in our society, become an inconvenient truth. That Jesus is the only way. People in our supposedly tolerant society don't like us saying that. They don't like to hear it. Because there is only one way to be rescued. Only one way to find salvation. So let me state it even more clearly. Church is not the means of salvation. Church leaders are not the way to find salvation. They are not the Messiah. Salvation is found in no one else. So when someone comes to me and says, well, Ben, what about all the church leaders who are hypocrites? I don't want to minimize that. But the answer is, it's totally wrong. They should not be behaving like that. They need to come to Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. But we also need to say, but they are not the Savior. So, as we go about sharing our faith, don't make becoming a Christian more than that. It's about Jesus. Of course, it involves more than that. If you're a genuine Christian, you want to show that you're following him. You want to have a changed life. But salvation is found in no one else. There is only one way. As Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why John says of himself, he must increase, of Jesus, sorry, and I must decrease. As Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. Our message in this church, our message as Christians, followers of Christ, is it's all about Jesus. So in the words of an old song, let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let Jesus be the one we talk about. And when you point to Jesus, rather than the church leaders, you will find he is utterly compelling. Do you remember Pilate? What did Pilate say of Jesus? I find no fault in him. I think I may have said it here before, that at Jesus' trial, people came and lied, the witnesses, and still they could find no fault in him. I find that staggering. You will find plenty of faults in me. You'll find plenty of faults in Rob. You'll find plenty of faults in church leaders around the world, but you will find no fault in Christ. So when someone raises the obstacle of hypocrites in the church, fair enough. We're not perfect. A Christian's not perfect. Only forgiven. So point them to the one way. Second, there is only one name. Peter builds on what he said, that salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind or humanity. It's only in Jesus' name that we can be saved. So as Peter has said, quoting the prophet Joel, he said in the sermon addressing the crowd at Pentecost, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We sing it in some of our songs, we sing it in our creeds, or say it in our creeds, but I wonder, do you really believe that? Is Jesus really the only name by which we can be saved? Let's tease that out a little. It means when someone comes to us and says, Al, what about Brian Tamaki? Yeah, that would you didn't see Al's face there. But it was fair enough. But the answer is, it's not about Brian Tamaki. He is not our saviour. When someone comes to us and says, look, what about all the Roman Catholic priests? Again, we don't want to minimize that kind of behavior, but they cannot save us. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind. Let's take it a bit further. We're almost afraid to these days. This means that those who follow Buddha, Muhammad, all sorts of other false gods, they may be lovely, sincere people, but they will find no salvation in those gods. That's why our task is so urgent. That's why missionaries go out to lands where the name of Jesus is not known, and they take Jesus as the runaway, the good news. It's why we must speak and help people understand. We follow Jesus. We trust in him for our salvation. As we come towards our general election, people want to tell us who they're putting their hope in. Across the Pacific Ocean, our American friends are preparing for theirs. And so you'll hear people saying they're putting their hope in Ardern or Collins. I knew Richard was here, so Peters, Davis and Ushaw covered a few options. And lots of other minor party leaders that you might want to vote for. Or Trump or Biden, let me be inclusive, or Kanye. None of those is the hope of the world. There is no other name that can save us. And so as you speak, as you respond to the obstacles and barriers, speak of Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. And the third thing, there is one choice. I said in my preamble that for some there are genuine excuses. Others have very lame excuses, but ultimately, whether they are real excuses or lame excuses, the reality is the same. And Peter says it in these final four words. We must be saved. The fact is that whatever the obstacle, the truth remains. There is only one choice. Will you be saved or will you perish? Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. This week we've heard the tragic and horrible news of the cattle ship going down. Multiple cattle lost, 42 crew on board, one or two have been saved. The story of the Bible is not dissimilar. We are all in peril. We are all in need of rescue. We need to be saved, and we cannot do that ourselves, no matter how good a person you are. We need the one way, the one name. But we face a choice. Will we make the decision to trust and follow him, to place our rescue in his hands, the one who took on himself my sins and your sins, the sins of church leaders, doing awful things, the sins of many hypocrites around the world, including myself. He took it on himself so I could go free. The one who conquered sin, death, and the grave calls to me and says, you must be saved. So when I'm asked about the hypocrites in the church, do I minimize it? Absolutely not. Listen, if you know of hypocrisy in the church, in this church, go and talk to one of the elders about it. We don't minimize it, but the answer is we have all sinned. We're not perfect. They're not perfect. Turn to Jesus. Trust in him, because salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Go and share that great message with people. And if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus, why not do something about it today? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reminder of our love. Great. Kia ora tato. Happy Father's Day to you all. I was going to say, look, there's fewer of us here, why don't we all gather in, but you're not supposed to do that, so stay where you are, stay physically distanced. Let me just say about Father's Day. It is a happy Father's Day, I hope. But I suspect there are some here for whom Father's Day is a difficult day, for whatever reason. Maybe you don't know your dad, maybe your experience of your dad was a difficult one, maybe your dad's miles away. There's a verse that has meant a lot to me through the years. I think it's in the Psalms, where God is talked or spoken about as a father to the fatherless. Well, maybe that is an encouragement to you to turn to the Father, who is a father to the fatherless. Let's turn to God in prayer. Well, God, we ask that as we turn to your word now, that you'd speak to us, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart together would be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in your name. Amen. There's barely a week that goes by where I don't hear of some church leader somewhere who is behaving in a way that is inconsistent and maybe unbecoming or very unbecoming of someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus. as I was preparing this week, without too much thought, I was able to tally up on my hand, so they easily count more than two hands worth 10 Christian leaders who I know of, who in recent times have behaved inappropriately, to come to light, and for whatever reason, they've then had to step down from the positions that they've been involved in. It's not something I'm proud of as a church leader, a Christian leader, but to use the common Kiwi phrase, the reality is, it's true. And I don't know how much you talk about your faith as a Christian, whether it's something that you are open about or whether that you see it as very private. I think a lot of people here in Aotearoa want us to keep our faith very private and don't want us to share it with other people. But as Christians, if we do that, it is the most selfish act, that we have found salvation, rescue in Jesus. We have this good news. And in the words of Peter and John, we cannot help but speak about the things that we've seen and heard. And if you're a Christian, that should be your reality, that you can't keep your faith to yourself. As Christians, we are called to both live and speak for Jesus. And you can't do one without the other. It's a both and. And of course, the two have to tie together. You need to live in a way that is consistent with the way that you're speaking. You need to speak in a way that is consistent with how you're living. But as Christians, we're called to do that. And as we go about sharing our faith, speaking of what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, it won't be long before people raise these kinds of obstacles with us. It's a great question to ask people when they raise objections to being a Christian. To ask someone, what keeps you from Jesus? What is it that stops you becoming a Christian? Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. What is it that stops you from being a Christian? You'll find as you ask that question, for some people, there will be some genuine obstacles. They'll probably feel a bit like this. For other people, those genuine obstacles are actually really lame excuses. It's just too inconvenient for me. One of the most frequent reasons that I hear given is, what about all the hypocrisy within the church? And it's asked in all sorts of ways. I said in the first service, let me say it again, I'm not speaking, as far as I know, about anything going on here in this church. But you might have had these kinds of questions asked to you. What about the church leader who was embezzling the congregation? What about the pastor who's sleeping with the associates? What about the leader who is abusing the young people? And all behind those are the messages that are loud and clear, those big obstacles. The church is full of hypocrites. I want nothing to do with it. It can't be trusted. Let me say right at the outset, I think those are totally fair questions. The church isn't all it should be. And we know there is all sorts of things going on. There are all sorts of things going on. But let me be absolutely clear on it. There is no excuse for those things either. We must not condone those. So we can't just cover up or just say, oh, that's not really that important. They are. They're very important. Those wrongdoings done in the name of the church by those who belong to the church are exactly that. They're wrong. Sin is serious. Sin needs punishment. And such public sin is rightly scandalous. But what do you say when someone says, look, I could never become a Christian because of that? How do you answer that very real allegation? For me, some of those questions are very pertinent. Just in the last month, a friend of mine, old friend of mine, church leader back in the UK, has been jailed for multiple child sex offences. It's horrific. As I was preparing for this message, studying my Bible, reading some of my books, I found in my office a book called Who You Are When No One's Looking. It's written by a well-known pastor who currently has multiple allegations of inappropriate behaviour against him. Who You Are When No One's Looking. And it's not just elsewhere, the US, UK, Australia, it's here in New Zealand. Let's not kid ourselves, it's here in the Hutt Valley. You only need to read the Don Post, the Hutt News, to know those stories. I was chatting recently with a friend about what I believe and how it affects my life, and one of the questions that she was asking is, what are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? I think the questions that she was asking, behind the question, she was really saying to me, you're not one of those, are you? And the answer is no, but I'm not perfect either. I am a sinful person. I didn't say this in the first service, so you get a little bonus here that they didn't have in the first service. That's because Jen, my wife's not here. But Jen will sometimes say to me, Ben, you present yourself as a perfect person sometimes when you're in the pulpit or preaching, but I know what you're like behind the scenes. Let me be absolutely clear, and Jen knows this as well. I am not perfect, and she knows that. But I am forgiven as a Christian. It doesn't excuse bad behaviour. In the passage that Eddie read to us earlier, Jesus turns to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he says, do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Jesus' warning to the crowds and to the disciples is clear. Don't follow the religious leaders. And so in the rest of the chapter, he presents loads of different woes on them. So how are we supposed to respond? Well, I think one of the great ways to respond comes from when Peter is standing before some of those very religious leaders, the hypocrites. He's actually been questioned and interrogated. He's been challenged. In this instance, in Acts chapter 4, he's been interrogated because he's healed a crippled beggar. Imagine. And he wanted to grill him, and they're doing that and saying, how could you do this? And what's going on here? And in Acts 4, we read Peter speaking to Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, the high priest's family. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he says these words, Acts 4, 10 to 12. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And I want to pick up just on that last sentence. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. If you take nothing else home from today's service, let it be that. It's a simple message and one we need to hear. I want to split it into three. First, Peter is saying, there is one way. You can't get much clearer than that. It's there in those first words. Salvation is found in no one else. Peter is saying what has become an inconvenient truth to us today. Something that in our supposedly tolerant society, we don't like to hear or say, that there is only one way to be rescued. There is only one way to find salvation. So let's put that a bit more plainly. The church is not the means of salvation. Church leaders, no matter how good they may be or appear to be, are not the Messiah. Salvation is found in no one else. So when someone comes to me and says, Ben, what about all the church leaders who are hypocrites? The answer is, yeah, that's totally wrong. They're not to behave like that, but they are not the Savior. Get that absolutely clear. So don't make being a Christian, becoming a Christian, more than that. Of course it involves far more than that. We make a commitment to Christ and then we're to have a changed life. But salvation is found in no one else. There is only one way. That's why Jesus says those words in John chapter 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or speaking elsewhere, he says that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. I think we would do well to remember that as we share our faith. Jesus must increase and I must decrease. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, we preach Christ crucified. Jesus is at the center of our message. Our message is not me. And one of the dangers as we share what it means to be a Christian is that we can make it all about ourselves. So I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I do good to the poor. Those are all good things, but they're not the central thing that we believe as Christians. We believe that Jesus died for us. And so when someone pulls before me and says, look, this person is doing wrong as a church leader, is a hypocrite. The church has got this horribly wrong. The simple answer is, yes, that's true. They have. But our message is not about the church or the church leaders. Our message is about the one in whom Pilate spoke of. The one of whom Pilate spoke, sorry. What did Pilate say? I find no fault in him. So when someone's asking you about, what about all those church leaders, those hypocrites, take the conversation back to Jesus. Don't minimize what's going on with the church leaders, but say, look, do you find fault in Jesus? Because that's who we follow. There is one way. Second, there is one name. Peter builds on what he said, that salvation is found in no one else. And he explains that there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. He says it's only in Jesus' name that we can be saved. Just earlier on in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, Peter, quoting the prophet Joel, addressing the crowd, says these words, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We sing that in our songs. We say it in our creeds. But I wonder, do we really believe this? That it's only in Jesus' name that we can be saved. So it means when someone says to us, what about Brian Tamaki? We can answer, look, yeah, he's not our saviour. When someone says, what about all the Roman Catholic priests who have done horrible things? We can say, no, they can't save us. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind. But let's take it a bit further. We're almost afraid to say these things these days. It means that those who follow Buddha or Muhammad themselves or any other false gods will not find salvation in them, no matter how sincere that person is. And that is why our task is so urgent. That's why missionaries go out to other lands where the name of Jesus isn't known, and they take the name of Jesus as Tiramapai. Good news. It's why we must speak and help people understand. We follow Jesus. We trust in him for our salvation. We're coming up to our general election across the Pacific Ocean. The Americans are coming up for theirs. So we've got lots of politics in the news. It's really easy to hear people, whether deliberately or unwittingly, start talking about Ardern or Collins, Trump or Biden, or even sometimes Kanye, as the great hope for our nation. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe in politics. I believe that these people are appointed by God to work in politics and to lead us. But none of them are the hope of the world. There is no other name that can save us. And so as we speak, as we respond to the obstacles and barriers, speak of Jesus. There's an old song that used to say, let's talk about Jesus more and more. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. And thirdly, there is one choice. I said at the start that for some these are genuine issues, and for others these might be lame excuses. Whichever they are, ultimately the reality is the same. And Peter says it in these final four words, we must be saved. The fact is, whatever the obstacle, the truth remains that there is only one choice. Will you be saved or will you perish? And a person who is a Christian is someone who has been saved. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. This week we've heard of the tragic loss of that cattle ship up in Japan, off the coast of Japan, the typhoon. Thousands of cattle lost, but 42 souls, 42 people on board. And one or two have been saved, and hopefully we will hear news of more, but it doesn't look good. The story of the Bible is similar to that. That we are all in peril, that we cannot rescue ourselves, that you need to be saved. We need the one way, the one name, but we face a choice. Will we make the decision to trust and follow him, to place our rescue in his hands? To allow the one who took on himself the sin of myself, of yourself, of the church leaders who are hypocritical. He took it all on himself so I could go free, so we could be forgiven. The one who conquered sin and death and the grave. Will I trust him? So when I'm asked about the hypocrites in the church, my answer is no. It's not right. We have all sinned. It doesn't minimize what they are doing. I said this in the first service, let me say it in this service as well. If you know of wrongdoing amongst church leaders in this church or elsewhere, go and speak to the leadership, elders of the church. But they are not our message either. Don't look to Rob, don't look to me, don't look to others. We've all sinned. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But they're not my message. They're not our Savior. They're not the answer. Trust in Jesus. Trust him. Because salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Listen, as you go and share that message this week, make your message about Jesus. But maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've never trusted the Lord Jesus for yourself. Why not? Why not do something about it? Maybe even today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us.